She is one of the most recognizable faces and voices in the New York City tri-state area. He is one of the most recognizable faces and voices on NFL Sundays in the fall and winter. Rosanna Scotto is a native New Yorker, a true native New Yorker, has been a news reporter in New York City since 1982, a news anchor since 1990, and a co-host of Good Day New York since 2008. And finds time to help run the family restaurant in Midtown Manhattan, Fresco by Scotto. And I just learned in preparation for this interview, has had a cameo career as an actress, most recently on Ghostbusters in 2016. I've got to rewatch that movie. Kurt Menefee is a native of Atlanta, and since 2007, has been a co-host of Fox NFL Sunday, and over his career has broadcast the play-by-play for Major League Football, Major League Baseball, tennis, and other sports. And since January, the two of them, Rosanna and Kurt, have teamed up to bring you news, traffic, and weather as the co-host of Channel 5's Good Day New York from 7 to 9 a.m. each weekday. Clearly, longevity, hard work, and dependability have been the hallmarks of the careers of these two remarkable people. Rosanna and Kurt, welcome to WBGO. Thank you for your time.
Thank you so much. It's so great to see you on your turf. I like you turning the tables on us today, Jay.
Absolutely. Thank you for having us.
Kurt, I'm looking forward to our conversation. Rosanna, you won't remember this. I was flipping through a photo book the other day, and I realized the first time you interviewed me was on September 11th, 2014 at Ground Zero when I was in office.
Right.
And then I was on your show a couple of times during COVID and then in person in the studio about a year ago, the weather balloons.
Yes.
All about that. Let me ask you something, Rosanna. One of the things that I really like about appearing on Good Day New York is you do ask tough questions. You ask probing questions. But the atmosphere that you and Kurt have created in the studio during an interview on air is one, I would use the word disarming. And I feel very comfortable, almost at home on your show, to the point where I have to be careful not to lower my guard too much.
Darn it, then our job is not done. We're going to work on that for next time. We want you to lower that guard down.
Oh, boy. So is that intentional on your part when you interview people? You interview everybody from the mayor to the police commissioner to sports figures. Is that by design? You have a very disarming approach to your interviews and your guests.
Well, thank you very much. First of all, we respect everything you've done for our city and for our country. And when you come on our show, you bring a certain gravitas that we respect. So thank you so much for always coming on Good Day. As far as our style, Good Day New York is very, we're your friendly next door neighbor. And we're asking you what everybody wants to talk about. And sometimes it's a tough conversation. And sometimes it's fun.
You've been at this a long time.
I'm glad you're not using years.
And one of the things I note when I watch your show is you have a very upbeat demeanor. You radiate positive energy while talking about some really bad news, sad news stories, like the latest shooting of a teenager or body parts found in a garbage bin or the latest subway tie-up or derailing. How do you get up every morning? And you probably get to work something like 4 a.m. How do you get up every morning to broadcast a lot of bad news about the New York City area and manage to keep it together and keep an upbeat attitude toward your work?
Well, first of all, working with Kurt is like an injection of positivity every morning. One of the first things I do when I wake up in the morning is I pray. So that's good. That kind of like resets the brain on how you get your day started. And Kurt and I, we really make an effort every day to find a moment to give everybody a kind of break on what's going on in our city and our world. And we got to look for the positive moments. We need it for ourselves and we need to, you know, share it with our audience. Otherwise, you know, it's a lot. It's a lot to carry that responsibility. I remember when I first started anchoring the 10 o'clock news, I would come home really depressed. So you have to learn how to deal with that, to balance it. Praying helps a lot, and having a really wonderful TV partner who reminds me that we have to find the good moments. And so that's what Kurt brings and reminds me every morning. And that's the yin and yang of our relationship, basically.
Rosanna, what's the key to longevity in your profession?
The longevity?
Yeah, you've been co-anchor of Good Day New York for years. What's the key to longevity? Very competitive world, obviously.
Yeah, curiosity, certainly number one. Never resting on your laurels, number two. Kurt and I are very involved in how the show is produced and booked, and we're active in the community, and we're grateful. We have a wonderful opportunity. I mean, we have a front seat to history, and we get to meet the movers and the shakers in this world, and it's an incredible job.
Kurt, you also, I believe, bring a very positive attitude toward your work. What, in your view, is the key to broadcasting local news in New York City and doing it well?
I think my approach is similar to Rosanna. You know, when people wake up first thing in the morning, they grab their phone these days, and you see the world is a tough place to live. New York's not the easiest place to be on certain days, on most days. And people know that before they even tune in to Good Day New York. And so I think we have a responsibility give people things that you need to know. But we also try and go, hey, here's some things you don't know that maybe aren't that bad. Or here's some things you don't know that are just fun to talk about. Because I think it does help people as you walk out the door, you get your kids ready. People want a smile. They want a reason to feel good about life. And that's always kind of been my approach just in general. You talked earlier, and Rosanna did, just about, you know, your approach coming into it. And, you know, I look at it in that I try to be happy all the time. Sometimes maybe to my own detriment. If you have another day where you wake up and the sun is shining and you have an opportunity to do something that you love for a living, then why wouldn't you be happy? Are there moments that you go, that wasn't as great as 10 minutes ago? Yeah, sure. But in the end, I think we all have reason to be positive. And I just try and bring that to everything we do, at least from my standpoint on the show.
What brought you to New York to broadcast news? When we spoke earlier, you reminded me that you've done this once before. But what brought you to New York in January to broadcast news?
Yeah, what brought me back to New York is really what it was, because I back 95 till 04, I was on the 10 o'clock news with Rosanna Scotto. So I went full time into the studio for Fox Sports, just really done that since the early 2000s. But this opportunity came, and it goes back to talk about being happy. And for me, one of the things that makes me happy is challenging myself. You know, I went back to school in my 50s to get my master's degree. I came back for this opportunity when it was presented to me. I found intriguing and a chance, one, to come back to New York, which I'm, you know, living in Southern California at the time. And I get to work with someone I know really well and respect so much in this business, in Rosanna Scotto. My wife was instrumental in saying, you know, go for it. Why not do it? So that was my approach right away.
Kurt, you were born in the mid-1960s. Mm-hmm. You're a native of Atlanta, Georgia, and you were presumably a boy growing up in Atlanta during two very significant moments in Atlanta history. One was April 4th, 1968, when Atlantan Martin Luther King was assassinated in Memphis. And the other was April 8th, 1974, when Atlantan Henry Aaron broke Babe Ruth's record and hit number 715. How, if at all, did those two events shape you? You were probably 3 years old when Dr. King was assassinated, but growing up in Atlanta, how did those two events shape you?
I think they're seminal moments in American history, but it was actually two. I hadn't even turned three yet. So I really don't remember, although they're like, you know, memories that you have that once you talk with your parents and your aunts and uncles, they're like, yeah, that happened. But I can't remember clear details, but I do remember my aunt and uncle coming down from D.C. for the funeral, and that being, you know, a big deal, especially when you're two about to turn three. But I think it was one of the things, obviously, we know, you know, what the civil rights movement meant to this country and the sacrifices that so many people made, including Dr. King sacrificing his life for the movement. And it's one of those things that, you know, there was firsthand knowledge, secondhand knowledge from my relatives who actually had lived it. In 1976, Maynard Jackson was elected the first black mayor of Atlanta. In 1982, because I graduated from high school in 83, I served in the office of Andrew Young, who went on to become ambassador to the United Nations, but he was the mayor of Atlanta. And it was the, you know, internship I had out of it when I was in high school and those kind of things. So much of the history of Black America goes through Atlanta, and that influenced me and everything that I was doing. But a big part of it was Hank Aaron hitting that home run in 1974. And I remember that happening. I was 7 years old and I was a baseball fan. First baseball game ever, first sporting event I ever went to. My grandmother took me to a Braves Pirates game. So I grew up around it, but I just remember how much that meant to, I think, all of America, but particularly Black America, because it was a Black man. You go back to the clip and Vin Scully said it perfectly, a Black man getting a standing ovation in the South for breaking Babe Ruth's record. And I think that meant a lot to a lot of people at that moment. And that's a moment you kind of grow up around, and you're aware of what it means to people that are around you more so than the significance of it from a historical standpoint. But later on in life, you learn about what it all means and kind of put it together.
Kurt, in your years covering professional sports, how have you seen professional sports evolve? That's a big question, obviously, but you can answer it in terms of professional sports or the NFL specifically. How have you seen it evolve? Please answer this in a way that doesn't get you fired.
I think the evolution of sports really is that sports has become more professional. When we were kids, it was always professional. Don't get me wrong. But guys did it. I mean, depending on how old you are, some guys did it and had a second job in the off season because they didn't make enough money during the regular season to pay them year round. But now it's become professional athletes. Many of them love their sport, but it's a business from day one. I don't think it's a negative thing necessarily, but it's how much money can I make in what time window I have? Because you can't do this when you're 50, 60, 70 years old. And that, I think, is a different approach to back in the day where guys were just like, hey, I get to be a professional baseball player or a professional basketball player, and whatever contract the team offers me is what I'm going to take. And then if I get to do a commercial or two, I'll be happy. And then when I retire, maybe I can be a broadcaster or get to work for the club. Those days are gone. Right now, guys come into the league, especially if you're a high draft pick and you're a multimillionaire at the age of 21, 22, 23, you know, those numbers are astronomical now. We're seeing billionaires sports. And so I think that element of it has changed. And I think along with it, it's kind of distanced the athlete from the fan base a little bit. Whereas those guys used to live in your neighborhoods, or you would see them at the grocery store or when you went around to the mall. I remember when I was a kid, he was a shortstop for the Braves, Pepe Frias. And I saw him at a mall and I thought it was like the coolest thing in the world. I don't know if you see that now with this generation because of the wide gap between professional athletes and the money they make and their fan base. And again, I'm not saying anybody's wrong. The owners are making money. The leagues are making money. So why shouldn't the athletes who are the ones that are performing make money? It's just like an actor. When you go see a movie and an actor gets paid $20, $25 million, the movie studios made money as well. So as long as everybody's making it, then I think it's fair. But I do think that's been the big change in sports, at least during the times I've covered it over the last 30 plus years.
You know, your comment reminds me when I was a freshman at Morehouse College in Atlanta in the fall of 1975, I was standing on the street, what was then Ashby Street in Southwest Atlanta, right across the street from the school, and watching the homecoming parade go by. And there were a bunch of people from the neighborhood watching the homecoming parade go by. And I look over, and about 10 feet away from me standing is Hank Aaron, just blended right into the crowd with a pair of jeans on, just watching the homecoming parade like everybody else.
And I can tell you, because that's because he lived in the neighborhood near there. He lived right at Hunter and Chapel in the neighborhood. And that's where my grandparents live. And that's where you went to college. And so you were able to see him on an everyday basis, like no big deal.
Exactly. Rosanna and Kurt, let me ask you both. How do you define a good show? What's a good day for you in terms of anchoring Good Day New York?
We always look for a moment, and it could be a silly moment. It could be an interview with the former Homeland Security Secretary. But we look for a moment that wasn't scripted, that just connects our guests and our audience. We're just one, and maybe we put a smile on your face. And like, for example, today, we had a great show. We had a lot of great guests, and there were moments, moments, moments. But at the end of the show, we had an Instagrammable cake that you're supposed to peel off from one side or the other. And underneath, it's supposed to say, I love you. And Kurt peeled it off, and he peeled off the I love you. And it was just, it's human. It's live. It was real. This is what happens. And I think everybody could relate to it. To me, it was like the funny part of the show.
Yeah, I agree. Because those are the moments, I think, that connect with the audience and with viewers. I try not to compare Good Day New York to Fox NFL Sunday, which I do. But I always say, when it comes to Fox NFL Sunday, nobody ever comes up to me or any of us and go, God, you guys did a great job of breaking down the cover two last week or showing me this. It's the funny moments. It's the, hey, Terry screwed up and you guys gave him a hard time. Or this story happened. People want you to be human. And I think that's one of the things that works for us on Good Day New York. Neither Rosanna nor I go on pretending we're anybody else. Because if you do, eventually you fall on your face. We can only be us. And we're comfortable being natural. But by being natural, you play off each other. And you get those humorous moments, those funny moments that we all get when we're having conversation with friends or dinner or drinks with friends. Those things just pop up and you can't plan those in advance. And we do that on the show. And I think that's what connects so much with the audience. Hopefully they feel like, hey, we're just hanging out with friends.
Well, I can attest that you're both very human and very authentic when I've been on your show. And that's one of the reasons I like going on Good Day New York. Okay, last but not least, favorite R&B artists, favorite R&B selections. Rosanna, we all know you love Native New Yorker because you play it on the show all the time. But what are your favorite R&B artists?
Aretha Franklin. So many good songs. My childhood, Respect. Chain of Fools, you know, I know a lot of those Chain of Fools. Think, I mean, Natural Woman. You make me feel. You make me feel. You make me feel like a natural woman. Aretha Franklin, I mean, I love her. Rest in peace, you know.
Okay, those are good choices. Kurt?
I would have to go with, if you're going to talk soul music, because I love music of all different genres, I have to say, just to cheat a little bit here, is that Signed, Sealed, Delivered, my wife and I played it with the band at our wedding. It's the only song we've ever played together in public. Again, that was not a planned moment. Someone at our wedding knew that I played the band, and after a couple of cocktails, was like, hey, why don't you guys perform with the band? And so we printed out the lyrics for the lead singer, and borrowed instruments and played that song. And so now, obviously, whenever I hear it, I remember our wedding day and how special that was. So Stevie Wonder would be the guy, but maybe Signed, Sealed, Delivered would be the song. Like a fool, I went and stayed too long. I'm wondering if your love's still strong. Ooh, baby, here I am. Signed, sealed, delivered, I'm yours. Okay. Well, thank you both so much for your time. And thank you, Jay.
You. I really appreciated it, and I look forward to the next time you invite me back to Good Day New York.
Open invitation.
Thank you, Jay.
Thank you very much.